All right. I think I'm in a good mood now. Except that I need to turn that volume down on the fucking thingy so I don't have the fucking feedback. There we go. Hey, happy Monday, guys. No, it's a happy Monday. Saying great one. Well, you sound so cheerful today. What's going on? No. We're not. There's going to be no complaining today. Because we have a little change of pace, okay? Because we're not a one-trick pony show around here, all right? Change of pace. Today we're going to talk about something positive. Something that I've been dropping hints on for a while. I've been talking. You already know what we're talking about because it's in the title of the podcast. Right? So I've been dropping hints on this for a while and, you know, making Ed Latimer cracks and giving him shit and everything like that and mentioning this book. So today we're actually going to talk about this book, finally. Yeah, great one. You're actually going to finally do one of the podcasts you kept telling us you're going to do. Yep, sure enough, I'm finally going to actually follow through on something. And speaking of that, hold on, I gotta make a note real quick here for something I need to do on an upcoming podcast. We'll call it a me-cast, because it's going to be a podcast about me. Well, every podcast is about me, actually, because I'm the most important thing around here. Jot stuff down. All right, there we go. Those are things that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about my favorite topic, which is myself. And it's your favorite topic also. That's why you're listening to this podcast. You sure as hell not listening to this podcast because I state the obvious or because all women are like that or because I'm a genius who figures out things that nobody else apparently can figure out, although they also apparently doesn't know how to convert a fucking whatever it is into a percentage and does the math and does an entire podcast where I'm spewing out incorrect information and then have to issue a correction to that. Anyhow, not caring what other people think is a superpower. Insights from a Heavyweight Boxer by Ed Latimer. I can recommend that you purchase this book. How much does this thing cost me? Does it... Ed... Okay, see, here we go. All right, Ed, why do you not have the price of the book on the back cover of the book? You know, like normal people do. I realize it's self-published, and you got it through Amazon at the .com. Is it self-published? Copyright 2017 by Ed Latimer, Mind and Fist Publishing. Nice. I'm assuming it's self-published. Ed, put the price of your book on the back cover of your book. All right, whatever the hell it was I paid for this book, it was worth it. Now, let's talk about me for a minute. Because basically, even though ostensibly this podcast, we're going to talk about Ed Latimer's book, and I'm going to attempt to convince you why you should give Ed Latimer your money in exchange for this book, this is really an excuse to talk about myself. I have a long history with what we will call self-help books, right? And thus, because of my long history, I'm reading some of the dialogues of Plato, which of course are about Socrates. And anyway, in one of the dialogues, making a very long story very short, one of the dialogues, Socrates is asking this guy, it's about the sophist. So Socrates is asking this guy, well, what do you think about the sophist? And he's like, oh, the sophists are a bunch of idiots. I ain't going nowhere near the sophist. They're morons. They have no idea what they're talking about. You know, they're liars. They're deceivers. Socrates is like, so what do you know about them? What have you talked to them? You know, what? And the guy says, no, I don't go anywhere near them. And then Socrates is like, okay, but hold it. So you're telling me that they're liars and deceivers and all this other stuff. But then when I ask you, what can you tell me about them? You don't know anything at all about them because you don't go near them. So then how do you know that they're liars and deceivers, right? This is the thing. I talked about this for years. We got all these people who tell, well, Charles Darwin wrote such and such in Origin of the Species. No, you've never read Origin of the Species, right? We got the Bible. The Bible says such. Have you ever actually read the Bible? Atheists do that too, right? And then, of course, my favorite, which just slipped out of my brain, which it's my favorite, and I just forgot it. The example I was going to use was right there. It was right there. What were you getting? Oh, of course. Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler, right? Ah, Hitler, he wrote a whole book about how he hates the Jews. Okay, have you ever read Mein Kampf? Well, no. Then how do you know it's about hating Jews? And I'm not saying it isn't. I'm saying, how the fuck do you know it is? Well, it was on TV. Oh, it was on the TV. It was on TV. Oh, did you see an internet video? Did you see a YouTube video about it? Oh my goodness, you're an expert now. So anyhow, I can speak to self-help books because in the past, I have read a fucking ass ton of them. And I can tell you that most of them are bullshit. Most of it is bullshit. Most of it's the same stuff over and over and over. So here's my assessment of two of the things. And I mean, this book is essentially, it's a inspirational slash self-help book slash, you know, get your shit together. Hang on one second. Let me see if I can find this real fast. Here it is. See, another book that I might tentatively put in the same category is 13 Rules to Not Be a Fucking Cuck by Turd Flinging Monkey, which I also highly recommend you pick up because TFM gets it right in this book. This book is, how many pages is this fucking book? TFM, what kind of fucking, do you have, dude, they're called page numbers. Why do you not have them? Is that a page number? I can't even read that. Good God, nobody can format a book. Dude, don't put decorations around the page numbers that make them unreadable. So it's an 80-page book. Brevity. Brevity, my friends. Brevity. I know what you're saying. You're saying, great one. You mean like you, the way you're concise and you get directly to the point, like the way we're almost 8 minutes into this podcast and you're still not talking about the... Yes, that kind of brevity right there. If you're going to write a book along the natures of not caring what other people think is a superpower, it needs to be concise. And the other thing it needs to have is actionable directions, actionable assignments. Because here's the thing. If somebody's reading your book, then there's some aspect of their life that they want to fix, right? I mean, nobody's a total fuck up. Even me, believe I'm not a total fuck up, believe it or not. And you say, well, great one. Or you say, yeah, I'm a fuck up. Okay, that's why I read Ed Latimer's book. Because I'm a fuck up in some ways, and I want to fix as best I can the ways in which I am a fuck up. So what I want from a book that's going to assist me in not being a fuck up is, number one, I want brevity. I don't need fucking page after page after page of fucking anecdotal evidence. Tony Robbins, looking at you. I've read a number of Tony Robbins books back in the day, like Unleash the Ultimate Power, whatever. But anyway, they're like these giant fucking tomes, and they go on and on and on and on. And, you know, Tony Robbins has some good things to say, but see, Tony Robbins is a perfect example. What I have heard and read from Tony Robbins is about 50% lies, 45% fluff, and 5% actionable, useful shit. Now, I don't want to have to sort through 95% to get to the useful 5%, okay? Take the 5%, distill it down, give it to me. Because I don't have time to read the fucking Tony Robbins 500 page book. Ed Latimer's book, now Ed Latimer's book is pretty big, 263 pages. But it's very concise. And this is why I can recommend the man's book. I recommend his book because, number one, he's done this, he's lived this. I mean, Ed Latimer, by any measure, is a success. Okay? The man's a boxer. The man's going to college studying, was it physics? Pretty sure it's physics. Yes, right here. Ed Latimer is a professional heavyweight boxer. It's on the back of his book, unlike where the price should be. The price is not on the back of the book. Good job, Ed. Ed Latimer is a professional heavyweight boxer, an adult physics student, and veteran of the United States Army National Guard. Now, to his credit, he was in the Army. To his discredit, he's in the National Guard, which is not much different than being homosexual. But we'll let Ed slide on this one, because he is a professional heavyweight boxer, and he's studying physics. Which I assume, I don't know, is he studying physics just for the fun of it, or does he want to actually go be a physicist? But he's done it. So here's the first thing. He's actually accomplished things in his life. Secondly, the book is concise. Thirdly, he gives you actionable advice for many of the sections. And that having been said, because when I read through this, I grabbed my highlighter. God, I can't talk. Grabbed my highlighter and highlighted sections that were relevant to me so that I can periodically pick this up and flip through it and find something relevant to where I am at the moment and work with it. And this is actually a good book to integrate into your daily process, because this is what I'm working on doing, except that often I forget, because I still forget things. For example, I forget to, by the way, happy day after July the 4th. Actually, it'll be the day after when you hear this. Today is July the 5th, in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer 2020. Yesterday, July 4th, went out, did 5 hours of trail running and hiking. And people were out all over the place. Nobody was wearing masks. It was beautiful and glorious. But we won't go there because we're being positive today. So see, today I am thankful that yesterday a number of people just went out on 4th of July and enjoyed themselves. And they did not allow themselves to cower in fear from the Wuhan virus. And I'm grateful for that. It's a good thing. I was very happy to see people all fucking over the place out on the trails and by the reservoir and in the water, and especially the girls in the bikinis. I was very grateful for that. So everything was good. So you see, as part of my daily routine, which includes writing down my plans and my meditating, and then I've added in each morning, I do 15 minutes, I alternate days. One day is stretching, the other day is an ab workout because I got to work on the six pack. Not that I have a six pack. Hear that? That's a lot less fat than it used to be. We'll get to that in a minute. You know, this is a great book that each morning you could pick the book up and you could just read one section and you can kind of think about that as you go through the day. And do the actionable part, or think about what he talks about, right? Because it's all nice and small and digestible. I think the longest section is probably 3 pages at the most. And there's probably not many sections that are 3 pages, if any, because as I flip through the book, it looks like most of them are 2 pages or less. So it's quick stuff. So let's just start here, because as I was preparing for the podcast, I was doing my vocal warm-ups, and I was going to do my vocal warm-ups by reading a few sections out of the book out loud. And I opened it up to this particular section and started reading, and then I just started losing my mind, and I said, well, I may as well just do the fucking podcast, because now this has just put me into a good... But see, this is the other thing. You read this book first thing in the morning, you read one section, one or two pages out of this book, and it puts you in a happy, positive attitude for the rest of the day. At least it does me. Maybe not you, but that's your problem. I can't control you. I only control myself. So here we go. As you improve, your tolerance for excuses decreases, as does your tolerance for mediocrity. Few people are worth your time at that point. And that's been the journey of my life right there, especially recently. So let me just read this to you, and then I'll go off on my little rant. But it's a happy rant. It's kind of a happy rant. All right, it's not really a happy rant, but it's a rant. It's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy it. Maybe you're not going to enjoy it, but if you think this podcast is about you, you're wrong. As you improve your life, you won't be able to understand why others won't do the same. Once you experience the power of action over complaints, you will no longer be able to tolerate people that refuse to improve. This is a natural and expected consequence. You begin to see how the mentality of settling creeps into every facet of a person's life. It will disturb you. Your first in... I mean, again, I read this book. It's like there's very few things in this book where I can take any disagreement with Ed. The man is perceptive, and the man is writing down some wisdom here, guys. Some serious wisdom. Your first instinct, and it's true, your first instinct will be to convince people to take a path out of the rut. Yes, see, your first instinct is to try to save other people, to try to help other people, to try to fix other people. Why? Because we care about other people. But guess what? If other people don't fucking care about themselves, there's nothing we can do about it. You gotta let it go. We all do this, and it's natural. But after the discussions result in arguments and disagreement, they always do, you learn that it's pointless. The best you can do is let them be, but also realize that you don't fit in. Once you wake up to the world around you, you can never go back to sleep. To find your place of comfort, you must abandon what you once knew. See, and that's it. That's the whole section. Now, that's the sort of thing you get up in the morning, you could read that, you go through your life, and you look around you, and hey, man, that, you know, my tolerance for excuses has decreased. My tolerance for mediocrity has decreased. People are not worth my time at this point. People are... And once again, I'm not perfect. I haven't achieved everything I've wanted to achieve. But, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do that. And you know what this made me think about? So when I was reading this for my warm-ups, this immediately made me think about, you know, the tolerance for excuses decreases and the tolerance for failure. You know how the people, right, the people who can't shut the fuck up about alcohol are the former alcoholics. You know, they go on and on and on and on. And you know how the worst people who are anti-smoking tobacco, not marijuana, because of course smoking marijuana is totally okay. We all know that. Won't go down that path right now because we're not bitching about politics. The people who can't shut up about cigarette smoking, right, are the ex-smokers. I used to work for this guy who was a former smoker. His name was Bill. Oh my God, he couldn't shut up about the evils of tobacco. And then, of course, we have our favorite. We have the atheist who can't shut up about God. I find now that I have lost the weight that I have lost, and lost the inches around my gut that I have lost, and done the fasting, which, by the way, today's an eating day. I can start eating at 10 o'clock if I want to. I don't have to start at 10, but 10 hundred hours, I can start eating. So I'm kind of excited because I got some fucking cherry pie. I got some chocolate fudge brownie ice cream. I got some sausage. It's going to be a good day. I'm going to eat some food. We'll talk about fasting later. That's in the other podcast. But anyhow, the point is, see, now that I've done this, and it's not like I didn't look at fat people in the past and be like, oh, you're fat, maybe you should lose some weight. But now I look at fat people, and because I've done it, right? Because I have improved, my tolerance for their excuses has gone down. Like, no, you really need to stop being fat.
I can't.
Yes, you can. And what's the longest you've gone without eating? Do you eat first thing in the morning? Do you eat all day long? Do you eat before you go to bed? So the longest you go without eating is when you're asleep. Okay, how about you eat less? But you eat less food in less hours.
I can't.
Then shut up. Shut up and fucking die. Oh, but wait, you're not going to die because we have a fucking healthcare system that's going to spend billions and billions of dollars of my tax money to keep you alive because you won't fucking stop eating and you're fat. So like, there we go. Politics. Stop. But I can't do it. Like more than ever, now more than ever, when I see fat people, I just want to beat the shit out of them because I have no fucking tolerance for this anymore. And it's true. So the better you get, the more you achieve. The less you're going to be able to put up with other people's failures. Here's one. Laziness feels good now, hard work feels good later. Laziness is a short-term solution to discomfort. He's right about that. I can vouch for that because it's laziness. I procrastinate a lot. Like, for example, I put off podcasting all weekend until now, Sunday morning. I could have done it sooner. Now, I was doing other things, but if I'm honest with myself, I really was putting off the podcasting until today. I was procrastinating. I was being lazy. So that's why this morning I got up nice and bright and early and did my little morning routine and did my prep and everything. And now, because I could have procrastinated, oh, I'll do the podcasting later. I'll eat first and then I'll podcast, which isn't going to happen because once I eat, my energy level is going to drop. I know this for a fact because I've been doing this whole fasting thing now for over 3 months. I know it's going to happen. I'm going to go eat food and my energy level is going to drop. See, so I stopped procrastinating, stopped being lazy. I'm doing the work of doing the podcast now. The future is always coming and is something we must be prepared for. The best preparation is to do the necessary work at the moment. Laziness is a way to prematurely experience the comfort that results from hard work. So that's a brilliant sentence right there. Think about that. Let me read that again. That is actually quite brilliant. Laziness is a way to prematurely experience the comfort that results from hard work. Because I can record the podcast and get it all posted and everything's done. And then I could go relax and have some food, right? And be like, yeah, the podcast is done. I've got my main objective for the day has been accomplished. I can relax now. I can enjoy my cherry pie and my chocolate ice cream at 10 o'clock in the morning and just enjoy myself and have a good, or I could put the podcast off and eat the cherry pie and the chocolate cake and pretend that the work is done and pretend that I'm enjoying the comfort that results from the hard work, but I'm not because I haven't done the hard work. This is why part of the I gotta write this down. Part of the Wuhan plan, by the way, cls.link/Wuhan plan. Part of the Wuhan plan If it's not written in there, I think it is, but I got to make sure, is do hard shit first, right? This is something you will consistently hear from people who are giving good advice, is whatever it is you least want to do, you do that first. Here's a long story short, Jack Spearco, the Survival Podcast. All right, so there's this new podcast. It's actually not new. The guy's been doing this for, I think it's 13 years. He has he's like 2,600 episodes. It's called the Survival Podcast. He is an anarcho-capitalist. His name's Jack Spearco. I've only listened to probably about 10 episodes. Every one of them is fucking brilliant. And he's on vacation right now, so he's doing this repeat thing, but he's talking and yada, yada, yada. It's such a long story. He's doing like this 13-step plan to unfuck your life, to make your life better, to improve your life, however you want to fucking put it. But anyways, so in the first episode, he's talking about the exact same thing. He's like, make the list of what you need to do. Then the things on the list you want to do the least, right? The things on there you most, those are the things you do first. And he talks about the psychology of why you do it. And he's right. And this is the same thing here, what Ed's talking about, right? Laziness feels good now, but hard work feels good later. Do the hard work first. Blah, 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 blah. The best preparation is to do the necessary work at the moment. Right, do what's necessary now. Don't put it off, because once it's done, you can move on to enjoying the comfort. You can move on to the things you want to do. You can move on to the goofing off and having fun. Laziness is a way to prematurely experience the comfort that results from hard work. This comfort arises not only because of accomplishment, but because of a lowered level of anxiety. Again, absolutely right. If you take the shit you least want to do, and you do it first, you get past the anxiety of, oh, I fucking dread doing this. When you experience relief without doing the work to earn it, the reduced anxiety is short-lived. Deep down, you know that you aren't really in a position to enjoy the comfort. You know that your work is still incomplete and that you'll be forced to return to it or suffer immensely. This is why the masses look forward to Friday and hate Monday. Throughout the week, they do just enough to sustain discomfort, and the weekend is their artificial sense of relief. Working harder now lets you do more later. Eventually, those laters will be nows. This is the secret to a prosperous life. Anything important to your future that can be done now should be done now. By putting it off, you're delaying the inevitable. During this delay, you cost yourself valuable time and increased stress. You end up wasting more time because it's likely that other important tasks accumulated in the background while you were procrastinating. Procrastination feels good now. Getting things done feels good later. Actionable advice. So here we go. Here's, again, this is one of the things that makes Ed's book better. The actionable advice sections. Actionable advice. There is likely something that you have been putting off. This is something important. It could be making an appointment, completing a workout, paying a bill, or even cleaning up. Whatever you are putting off won't require much effort to identify. It will be the task that you immediately think about when you try to relax. Instead of disappearing into the land of unearned comfort, take action and do the thing. This way, you'll feel good now. The comfort you've experienced will be earned because an important task is now complete. True confidence is when you do not fear outcomes. So this is relevant to me personally because there are times when I still fear outcomes. It is impossible to guarantee a specific outcome. You can influence many things about an outcome, but the final result is beyond your control. This is why placing your confidence in the outcome of an event always leads to anxiety and disappointment. This goes back to my saying that expectations of other people are an appointment with disappointment, right? You want a specific outcome. I got this expectation that this other person is going to do something or not do something. I'm outcome dependent. When you're outcome dependent, you're setting yourself up for anxiety and disappointment. Consider a boxing match. You can't control what your opponent is doing. You can't control the conditions of the meeting. You can't control whether today will be the day you get injured or worse. So what can you control? Where can you afford to put your confidence? You trust in the process. All the things mentioned above in your control do not concern whether you win or lose. They do not decide the outcome. They are processes that are under your control. You can control your training, mindset, and conditioning. You can control your understanding of the strategies and tactics that will give you an edge. By placing your confidence in the process that you control, you cease worrying about the outcomes that are a result. True confidence can develop because it is rooted in things that you control. You have control over your mind, body, and spirit, and its preparation. Only when you trust in that preparation and process can you be truly confident. Oh, here's a good one. This is one of the... Oh, no, it's not. Never mind. No, it is a good one. I was about to say this is one of the longer ones. It's not one of the longer ones. That's what she said. All right. So once again, this really applies to me because this is something I'm terrible about, is explaining things when I shouldn't. I'm getting better about it, but this is... You know, a bad habit that I had from back in the day is always feeling this need to explain myself to other people. And I've moved way beyond it, but I still have a little ways to go. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. Fuck either of those. Do what must be done. You don't owe anyone an explanation. If you worry what I blame Ed Latimer for that. Because another thing Ed says in his book is that you should never take responsibility for anything that happens to you. You should always blame other people. So see, I'm going to blame Ed Latimer for my shitty talking today because I was going to do vocal warm-ups, but then I started reading from his book, and his book got me all energized and pissed off about how fat people need to lose weight because if I can do it, they can do it, and I'm sick of your fucking excuses and go fuck yourself. And then I said, and I got all excited and rah, 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 and then I decided to start recording the podcast before I had properly completed my vocal warm-up routine. So this is all Ed Latimer's fault because I had nothing to do with this. I have no control over what happens here. If you worry what another person thinks, deep down, you believe that you need their permission to succeed. This is, in effect, living for another person at the expense of your desires. This is a mistake. You can't live for other people. Instead, you must always do what is best for you and your family. This way, you don't need to worry about permission or forgiveness because your actions are always done with proper conviction. The opinions of others become irrelevant. You won't need to explain yourself because the results of your actions speak for themselves. Ahem. actionable advice. Take more action without approval or explanation. For example, if you have to end a phone call or leave someplace, merely excuse yourself and take off. Many people only feel comfortable giving a reason for doing something. Our goal is to develop the habit of doing the best thing for ourselves without the need for approval. This isn't to be misinterpreted as an excuse to be rude. Good manners and standing up for yourself are not mutually exclusive. They only seem that way to people who want to take advantage of you. For example, when leaving a party, you can say, "Thanks for having me." Your body language and tonality will go a long way in making it clear that your decision is beyond negotiation. This can be done with tact. Unless you're me, I don't have any tact. I've heard of tact. Here's a good one. Control your emotions or they'll control you. This is the crux of it all. Your emotions serve a purpose. They give feeling to things so that you may retain their meaning. If you do not control your emotions, they may lead towards actions that have disastrous outcomes. Trying to make the world match your emotional state instead of responding to the world with proper emotions leads to failure. This manner of living is very addictive and must be avoided at all cost. Control your emotions, or your emotions will control you. Actionable advice. Operate under the assumption that the world does not care how you feel about anything. And that's not an assumption, that's a fact. The world does not care how you feel about anything. Trust me on this, guys. Trust me. The world doesn't give a fuck how you feel. Operate under the assumption that the world does not care how you feel about anything. Maybe there are a few select people that care, but most in the world are only interested in what you can do for them and the value you bring. Being emotionally draining and reactive reduces the value you add to the world. This is because people have their own problems to worry about and they'll assume, but this is because, take two, this is because people have their own problems to worry about, and to assume they'll care about your problems is selfish. Not only will you repel others, but you'll enrage yourself because the world will not respond the way you believe it should. Operate from the assumption that no one cares. This will allow you to make decisions that generate loyalty and care from other people. Live strategically with a view from high. Avoid tactical hell, reacting to everything. Most people are good at tactical living. We are excellent at surviving the day-to-day grind. Living paycheck to paycheck is tactical living. Only going to the doctor when sick is tactical living. Only having discussions about relationship problems while arguing is tactical living. You'll survive, you'll live, but you'll never be great. Living below your means, saving money and planning to make more, engaging in preventative checkups and health practices, regularly talking things over in your relationship. This is how you stay ahead of the routine problems in life that demolish you in a tactical sense. This is how you start attacking life strategically. Once you start living strategically, avoiding tactical hell, your entire life will improve. And yeah, he's absolutely right about that. Most people don't seem to have any kind of grand vision. I mean, hell, I can't necessarily claim I have a grand vision. I have some grand visions, for example, physical health, right? You guys have heard me blabbering on about this for how long now? Right, since I started lifting weights, and I just did the fasting, I'm losing the fucking fat, and I actually have biceps for the first time in my life. They're not as big as Ed Latimer's biceps, because Ed Latimer's biceps are the size of my fucking thighs. Okay, but I have biceps. It's because I have been thinking strategically instead of tactically. I've been moving towards a specific goal. I'll tell you what that goal is in the future here in another podcast. Let me write this down. Because otherwise I'll forget. Oh, here's one. When I was in the military, my squad leader, Sergeant Downs, who was a former Marine who transferred over to the Army, and he was fairly short compared to, you know, man, he was less than 6 feet tall, but he was fucking thick, man. I mean, he was built. It was nothing but muscle. Man had no fat on his body. He was huge. And he had the Marine attitude of just crashing through things, right? That was always, in my platoon, that was always the sort of philosophical conflict. Not a conflict in a bad way, just difference of opinions. This conflict between second squad, my squad, and third squad, which was Sergeant Hanna. So Sergeant Downs, he was a former Marine, and this big, you know, muscle bound, could fucking, you know, bench press a fucking automobile and shit. And his way of attacking the enemy was just like full speed ahead, straight at him, guns blazing, just like whatever, any obstacle that came, he's just like, wham, attack it, head on. And Sergeant Hanna, he was a ranger, and he was, both of these were black guys, and, you know, Sergeant Hanna, he was strong, nothing wrong, but he was thin, small build, a little bit taller, ranger, and he was all about stealth, and his whole way of doing everything was stealth. He would sneak up on the enemy, and him and his squad, they'd sneak the fuck up, and they'd creep right up there. Sergeant Hanna actually got fucking pissed on one time because we were scouting the enemy camp, and Hanna was right up fucking in there camouflaged, and the fucking one of the guys out of the camp walked over to the fucking tree and took a piss and pissed on him. Didn't even see Sergeant Hanna right there. So that was the, anyway, Sergeant Downs, he always had this saying, there's no such thing as being bored, just means that you're a boring person. And I took that with me, and I brought that with me throughout the rest of my life. And I have found that it's true, because I haven't been bored in years, in centuries, decades, a long time. The world isn't boring. You are. I'm not going to make a complete list of all the things you could do in the world. I'm not even going to make a partial list. This would be like giving you a fish instead of teaching you how to fish. Actually, it'd be even less productive, because what if you don't like fish at all? What if you already know how to fish, but you're just lazy? What if you have no inclination towards learning how to fish at all and would rather hunt or farm? Instead of giving you my ideas on how to alleviate boredom, I will tell you what boredom is and its antithesis. The rest is up to you. Boredom is a lack of fascination. Now that's brilliant. Boredom is a lack of fascination. See, I can agree with that. This is why I'm never bored, because there's always something I can be doing. There's always something I'm interested in. And there's the list of things I need to do, like, okay, recording the podcast is usually fun. The actual work of getting the podcast up, like, for example, yesterday, yesterday and the day before, I posted a bunch of other people's podcasts to get that done, because I do that in batches. I think I did like the next 6 episodes or something. And it's just this minutia bullshit, and it takes forever, and it's painful as fuck. Right? But it's got to get done. So I got it done. Now it's out of the way. See, now we're back to where Ed talked about procrastination, laziness, enjoying the success when you don't actually have the success. See, now that I've got the other people's podcast posted for the next 6 weeks, now I can relax on that and actually know that it's said and done. I got the hard work done. So I don't experience boredom, because I've either got things like that that I need to get done, and while I'm not necessarily fascinated with them, I'm excited for the results, right? I'm excited for the results of those podcasts being posted, and I don't have to fuck with it for another 6 weeks. But then there's also this whole myriad of things that do in fact fascinate me. Lifting weights and listening to a podcast. Trail running, hiking, going out girl hunting, reading a good book, slogging through the dialogues of Plato right now, photo editing, eating, occasionally watching a movie. The day before yesterday, I actually watched an entire fucking movie in one day, which I don't do very often. The last time I did that was, of course, when I watched the movie, Conspiracy. 2 days ago, I watched all the way through in one day while both eating. First, I ate food and then I lifted weights. I watched the movie Time Bandits, which, if you're not familiar with it, actually, I'll talk about Time Bandits in this podcast over here. Because it's a great movie. Shit ton of fun. But I always have something I'm interested in doing. Even if I want to completely avoid something that can be considered work, like working on the podcast, if I want to do something purely for fun, purely for 100% useless entertainment that's, technically speaking, a complete fucking waste of my time, I can find something I'm fascinated with. And that will engage my time and I'll enjoy myself. Boredom is a lack of fascination. You may lack interest, it may not be interesting, or you may be intimately knowledgeable of that thing. Why you aren't fascinated is irrelevant. What is relevant is understanding that boredom is the lack of interest in something. Recognize this when you experience the feeling. The opposite of boring is interesting. Children are rarely bored because everything in the world is new and novel. It is all so interesting to them. People who are deeply engaged in something cease to experience boredom because they are acting in a meaningful way rather than just going through the motions. When deeply focused on an experience to the point where you notice the minor nuances of a thing, fascination begins and boredom ends, not frustration. Frustration is different than fascination. When deeply focused on an experience to the point where you notice the minor nuances of a thing, fascination begins and boredom ends. Actionable advice. Learn to meditate. Who have you heard that from before? Is there anyone else, anybody you know that has told you you should learn to meditate? Because it'll make things... Anyway, don't listen to me, guys. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But listen to Ed, okay? Because Ed's a boxer and he'll kick your ass if you don't listen. Learn to meditate. You don't need to become a professional, but you do need to learn how to focus within yourself. By learning how to make your mind aware and active internally, you are also learning how to become fascinated with yourself. Not only do you discover many things about yourself, but you also learn how to control your mind. Since boredom begins in the mind, it is only sensible to begin training the mind first in order to conquer it. Oh, here's a good one. This we'll probably go out on this because it looks like we're getting near the end of the podcast. Again, something that I can relate to. And you've heard me talk about this before in the sense of this is why I don't spend a lot of time watching television. It's why I don't spend a lot of time playing video games. Even though, sure, would I love to just sit there and fucking watch Babylon 5 from the time I get up to the time I go to bed? Abso-fucking-lutely. Oh my God. Yes, absolutely. God, I love Babylon 5. God, it's a fucking great show. See, now I'm just thinking, it's like I could finish this podcast, I could sit down, I could watch Babylon 5 the entire rest of this day. I could do that. I really could. I'd love every minute of it. I would definitely not be bored. Every moment spent consuming is a moment lost producing. The quickest way to improve life is to increase your value. The quickest way to increase your value is to begin producing and contributing to the world. Most people are consumers. They slave through the days of the week and drink their nights and weekends away. They don't improve because they consume the worst the world has to offer in terms of food and information. When you spend your time consuming, you don't have enough value to exchange for the good stuff life has to offer. Excessive consumption depreciates the mind and body, making it essentially worthless. Your goal is to become a producer. You want to add value to the world by putting high quality into your body and mind. It is able to create the best. What you create and contribute increases your worth. By increasing your worth, everything you consume has a finer quality and the cycle continues upwards. But you cannot produce and consume simultaneously. Some consumption is necessary for your life and enjoyment, but you should produce far more than you consume. And he's right. He's right. He's right about most of the things in this book. There it is. Not Caring What Other People Think is a Superpower. Insights from a Heavyweight Boxer by Ed Latimer. Amazon.com. Buy it.